Well, if it looks like our numbers are down tonight, because they are, be in prayer. We got a lot of folks out sick. Melody was a little sick yesterday, and then she woke up this morning and she had a bass tone voice to her, so we took her into the urgent care. She's got a sinus infection, tested negative for a bunch of stuff, flu, strep, all that normal stuff they look at. But she does have a sinus infection. Pray for her. The rest of the boys and mom are sick as well, so pray for them. Pray for me that I don't get it. I feel a little run down, feel a little tired, but hopefully that's as far as it goes. Brother Dennis isn't feeling well. Brother Steve as well. I know we've got some folks out there in the parking lot. Don't know who all it's hit, but I know it's hit a few people. So pray for them that it don't spread and that they get back on their feet pretty quick. Be in prayer for Sister Sherry. She has a big meeting tomorrow. We'll be deciding some things for the future. So pray for her. Pray for those that are in mourning. There's a lot of folks who will be going past some anniversaries over the next couple months. So pray for them as that time comes around. You know, they say the holidays are hard to go after a loss, and especially if they happen right around the holidays. So be in prayer for them as well. Then I know that the Clarks and some of those that have gone down there too aren't feeling all that well. So pray for them that they can get well for their return trip back. Praise the Lord. We heard that there was a soul saved and baptized down there as a result of the Lord's blessings. So praise the Lord for that. And I'm sure there are many, many more. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you in these situations, Lord, these things. Seems like the word of the day is sick. So, Father, I pray that you put your healing hand upon all those that need it. Lord, those awaiting test results, those getting things checked out, those that are dealing with the common aches and pains that they always have, but maybe a little bit worse because of the weather. Lord, be with all of us. Help us, Father, and Lord, we pray for Brother Bill as he has passed his last chemo, Father. We raise that up in praise to you. The Lord, that at least that part is over, and I know he's got four or five more radiation treatments. Lord, I pray that when they go in and they take a look, the Lord, they see that this thing is gone. And Lord, be it by the medicine or by your touch, Father, we'll praise you either way. Lord, be with us tonight as we dive into your word. Help me not to be a distraction from it. Move me aside, Lord, and have your word ring true. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 1. And it says, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel. And with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their houses, or in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. The ark was meant to be kept inside the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. For 75 years, it's been gone. Not missing, I mean, they knew where it was. But for 75 years, it had not been where it was supposed to go. It is amazing how many things God has given us as implements of serving him. What's even more amazing is how long we can go without considering them, without thinking about them, without making sure that they have their proper place in our lives. 75 years is a long time. But of course, that was never the plan. That was never the thought. It was always one day. Now, I don't have any documentation to prove that anybody ever said one day, but if I put it into our modern day type of thinking, that would be it. Hey, one day we'll do this. One day we'll get together as a family and do devotions, just not this week, not this week. One day I'll get back to my prayer habit. One day I'll get back to this, I'll get back to that. And one day never comes. And I can see so often, well, all right, well, eventually what we need to do is we need to go get the ark, and we need to bring that back, and we need to do this, and we need... But they never did. We see that it wasn't even inquired about. The great things that God has given us as implements of our relationship, it is very easy for us to forget that they're even there. For us to not even consider it. I've known of many people who have heard the pastor or heard preachers say things from the pulpit, and they say, yes, I agree with it, but it has nothing to do with what's going on in their lives. Yes, I agree that we ought to be praying. Yes, I agree that we ought to be studying the Bible. Yes, I agree that we ought to be getting together as a family and praying. Yes, I agree that we ought to be doing this as a church. We ought to be doing that as a church. But they don't do it. They think about it and say, oh yes, that is definitely something that should be a part of our lives. But there's never that draw to bring it into their lives. Never that draw. There were people born and died without the ark being among the people. And we sit here today and we wonder, why is there no revival? Why are churches struggling? I'll tell you this. It is not because God has lost his power. It is not because God is less attentive. It is because we as churches have neglected the things he has given us. When God's people are repentant and they are close to him, they are on fire. Consider a coal. It's getting about time to turn on the fireplace for some of us. And consider the coals that come out a little bit away from the fire. What happens is they go away from the fire. They're warm, might even be hot. They smolder a little bit, but they're dark. You can see they're dark, and they're getting colder. What happens when you knock that coal back closer to the fire? It erupts again. That heat is there, that closeness to the source causes it to erupt, and there's flames, and it continues on with its process, giving heat and light to all those nearby. When we separate ourselves from the elements that God has given us to bring us closer to him, what are we really expecting to have happen? You can't start your car without gas. You can't turn on your heat without a furnace. There's a lot of limitations we have without the key implements. How can we have any kind of relationship with God if we ignore him? If we don't honor and value the things that he has given us to use in this relationship? The very fact that many people didn't even notice it was missing should be a warning shot to us. I want you to consider tonight, what things in the worship of God should there be in your life but are missing? And I want you to ask yourself, how long have they been missing? How long? See, it bore mentioning. David got everybody together. Now, David, when I see this, David was not asking their permission. You understand? When we're looking at what he's doing here, let's read this. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel. So if it seem good to you, let's round up the gang. Verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. If it seems good to you, let's get everybody together. Let's get the captains together so we can bring the ark back. There's a little bit of a genius there. I love that. Let's get everybody together. When you are missing something instrumental in your worship to God, every part of you needs to get together, because I'll tell you right now, if we don't have ourselves fully put together when it comes down to repentance, if we're saying, hey, listen, I'm going to get this all out of my life except for this little area, it's going to stay. It's going to stay. Could you imagine clearing your house of bugs, having the exterminator come and they spray everything, but they leave one room? Oh no, don't spray in that room. That's the room where we're not so worried about them being in. You know what will happen? Someone's going to open that door. Out they will come. And they'll swarm the house all over again. Well, that's us, isn't it? I'm going to repent of this sin everywhere except for this situation here. Everybody's got to have their thing, right? We'll keep this little corner of our heart where we're going to hang on to this sin in particular, but get rid of the rest. You can't do that. That's still sin. That's still unrepentedness. If we're going to repent, we must repent all. We must clear everything. Get everything together. Hey, listen, how I entertain myself, what I do at work, how I act around the family, my church attendance, my demeanor. Let's bring it all together. And let's decide, I will serve the Lord. Holding nothing back. What about as a church? We just talked about revival. It must be every heart that repents fully of sin. Get them all together. And we all repent of these things. And we all submit to the Lord. And we all go back to the basic instruments of spiritual fitness. And we all get back to working on it. What things has God given us? He's given us worship. You know, I love singing a cappella like that. I do. It's wonderful. But you notice the piano being missing. Brother, I kept waiting for the piano to start. You know what I mean? You miss it. Right? At Flat Rock, we had a piano player. We had an organ player. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't like the sound of an organ. Please forgive me. I don't like the sound of it. I never could quite put my finger on what I didn't like about it. But anyway, that's not why we don't have one. We don't have one because she can't be in two spots at once. But you notice it when it's not there. Worship should be something you notice when it's not present in your life. When was the last time you just sat and talked to God, your gratitude, how wonderful you thought He was. You thanked Him for it. I did something with Xander just recently, and it took a while for us to be able to do it, but he got all excited. We're driving home, and he's laughing, and he's giggling about it. And he just looks over and goes, thanks for doing this for me, Dad. You want to feel 10 foot tall. I mean, you feel good. Thanks. You know, your Heavenly Father knows how good He is to you. Your Heavenly Father knows that He's provided everything for you. But don't you think it's still the right thing to get down on your knees every now and then and tell Him how wonderful He is for all that He's done for you? Many of us were in the same boat. We can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? I'll be honest with you. I don't think God cares about the sound of our voice. I think He looks into the heart. I mean, I tell you what, you think about those men singing in prison. You know, after they got beat pretty hard, they probably weren't singing all that pretty. But it was probably one of the sweetest sounds God could have heard. Well, I'm not good at poetry. I'm not good at this. Hey, listen, just come to the Lord with a heart full of rejoicing. He won't care what it sounds like. You're not trying to get a publisher's thumbs up. You're not trying to get into the symphony orchestra. You're just there to praise the Lord with what you have. Worship is a thing God gave us. If it is something that's missing, it should be something that we go back after.
you consider the one of the biggest problems with modern day Christianity is the worship. You talk to some of these people coming out of there. Why do you go to the church like that with those rock and roll musics and things? Oh, I come out and I feel so just so great. Really feel pumped up. Really feel excited. Let me ask you this. Is that the purpose of worship? Now, don't get me wrong. It will and always will be a side effect of worship, right? You don't have to go to a punk rock concert down at a franchise church. You open your heart to the Lord, yeah, you're going to feel good. You come in, we sing a song that you like and fit with something that the Lord was doing in your life that week and your heart's just overflowing. You're going to feel good. But is that the purpose? It's not the purpose. The purpose is to make the Lord feel good. The purpose is to lift the Lord up. It's not about whether or not we feel good. Well, you know, those old songs just don't do it for me. Man, those old songs are filled with scripture. They do it for the Lord, and that's why you ought to be doing it. Man, I will hold by. Now, again, not because they're old songs. We got to be careful with why we do it. We don't stick to the hymns because they're the hymns. We stick by them because they're scripture. Now, why do I make that distinction? Because some of those ain't scripture. And we change them, or we don't sing them, or whatever, right? But we've got to hold to the fact that we don't like the old hymns because they're hymns. We like them because they're scriptural, and if we come across one that ain't scriptural, we can't fix it quick here or there. We just don't sing it. I've gone over to Danielle a couple times and said, hey, listen, there's no saving that one. Let it go. You know, we keep a list, or we've got an Excel spreadsheet of the hymns, and she'll pick off of these and that, and I'll sit there and say, hey, this one, Why? I go, because it'd take too much work to fix the words on that. Just let it go. Just let it go. And that's important that we worship correctly. We'll look later at what happens when they handled the ark wrong. That'll come back to bite you. Don't bring bad smoke. Remember that? Isn't that what the sons of Eli got in trouble for? One of the many things? They were burning weird things. There was a weird smoke coming out of the temple. We ought not serve God in a bad kind of way. Worship must be a holy thing. Worship must be a scriptural thing. But it must be centered and solely for the Lord. It is not something we do for ourselves. It is something we must do for Him. What other things has God given us? Well, it's right there in your lap. Isn't it good to have a good Bible? It's good to have a good Bible. Yeah, there was a guy, he had this instructional series. It was part of a preacher's college curriculum that they let out for free on YouTube, and I was watching it. And they were talking about the many points that were wrong with things like the NIV, the NASB, and things like that, the differences between them. And I just sat there and said, man, I am glad I was taught the KJV. I was glad. The modern day Christian church, a lot of people do different things. I was glad the Lord put me in a New Testament Baptist church. I'm glad for Pastor Hugin, who taught me that the KJV was the only book. It didn't just say it to me, but proved it to me. I'm glad for these other men that stand up for it. But most and more prominently, I'm glad to have this book. Yeah, and the amazing thing is, you find this book anywhere. I mean, this book is hated to the core. Go down to the dollar store, pick you up 50 of them for probably just as many dollars. It's everywhere. You go to hotels, some of them still have them in the drawers. You notice that? They still have the King James Version. Well, it's the Gideon Bible, but the King James Version sitting there for you. You can't get a toothbrush at a hotel, but you can get a King James Bible. You tell me who's in charge of that. Come on. You know how many attacks have come against this version? How many have come against it and have failed? Do you know how often that's happened? So very often. And yet, there it is. How many of you got more than one? I think we just covered this recently, didn't we? I was at when I was down in Cincinnati, there's this company that does Bearing Precious Seed. And they were in there and they were printing off these, what they call John Romans. That's all it is. It's the book of John. It's the book of Romans. They were made for churches to order, and they can either put them together or you could buy a bunch of them and you could go and you could just pass them out. And then you'd have the book of John, book of Romans, and you'd have certain things already highlighted in there. You could customize the cover. And so we went down there for like a college field trip, and we just kind of walked around, and we saw how they bound them, and we saw how they printed them. And they were printing them in almost any language you could imagine. They had a little hall there talking about the KJV and beautiful things like that. And in there, they had this beautiful Bible. Right? Beautiful Bible. It was a preacher's Bible. It was a large print. It had wide margins in it. It's this Bible right here. And they wanted about $110 for it. And when you're in college, you can't afford that. You have a Bible and you're happy with it, and that's the way it goes. I was taking the boys to a used bookstore in the area. They had it sitting right there almost many years ago. They had a copy of it just sitting there. Nobody used it. Nobody touched it. I mean, it's still pretty nice. And I brought it home. I slapped a cover on it. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably my 21st Bible I had. Did I need it? Nope. But they just happened to have it there. I think I spent under $10 for it. I'm like, man. I go, have you had a lot of pull for those? No, it's just too big. I go, oh, man. Well, I'll give you that. I can't remember how much, but it was less than $10. But we've got them. We've got them everywhere. You go down to my office, I've got them down there. You walk around the building, we've got them all over the place. Please stop leaving your Bibles all over the place. But hey, we got them all over the place. We got them here, we got them there. If I left my Bible over here in the fellowship hall, and last night I wanted to look something up, it was fine. I didn't have to walk down to the fellowship hall. I grabbed one of the 900 that were sitting up against the bookshelf there and pulled it off. Aren't you glad you have the Scripture? And aren't you glad how God bathes you in it and surrounds you by it? And if ever you're without it, I mean, man, we've got it on our phones. I had a watch one time. I had the Bible on my watch. We've got it everywhere. But do we read it? Do we spend time with it? And if it's missing, do we notice it? How many times have I missed a day turned into I've been off for most of the year? The most well-known verses of Scripture are the Gospels and the book of Genesis. And I'll tell you why. Because that's where most people start, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Right? January 1st. We're going to start this year. And by the time they get to the end of the Gospels, or they get about 3/4 of the way through Genesis, they're done. Well, someday we'll get it. Someday we'll go back to it. Man, someday will kill us. We'll kill ourselves with that someday. Worship, Scripture, church. Oh, church. We've been given the church. And I tell you what, it can be a high thing. It can be a difficult thing. Being a member of a New Testament Baptist church nowadays. Oh, you go there. Oh, you're meeting how many times? Oh, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You must be very phobic of this and very phobic of that. Hey, listen, I get the judgment on there, right? I get the same looks you do, if not more, because I identify myself as a pastor, right? So you get the looks. But man, there's nothing better than being a church member. There's nothing better. This is where we get our orders. This is where we get fed from the Word of God. This is where we go to serve Him. Right? I've said this before. A lot of people have quote unquote ministries that are no better than businesses, making us look bad. Making real churches, doing real church work, look bad. Not because they're doing it better, but because they're making such a mess of it. It's making us look awful. I tell you what, the Catholic Church out there, for the money that they make, these non-denominational types, for the way that they abuse the LLC business incorporation method, right? They abuse things. They make all of us look bad. But a true church, that's not how we work. A true church, that's not what we do. And we need to be acting like a true church. And we need to be out there inviting people to a true church. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not ashamed to call what we are a true church. I've made people angry. I made a Unitarian angry a few years ago that way. Well, they got upset about, tithing. Well, a church shouldn't do it. I go, well, who keeps the light on at your church? Well, the denomination, they'll funnel into each individual. Well, where do they get the money? From tithing, from people who tithe and give money. And they get money off of this and money off of that. So then you get to go, right? Yeah. I go, that's a business. That's a business. If I can pay for this or I can buy that, but nobody's really responsible for things, that's a business. What is a church? We get together and we decide to pay the lights. Now, we don't vote for it every month. We just, we get together. We pull money together and we fix this and we fix that. And if we don't fix it, we've got people climb up on the roof and take care of it for us or go down there and take care of it for us. Why? Because I'm a member of this church. I keep it tidy. For each and every one of us, this is like a second home. It's what it is. Right? This is where I go. This is where we worship the Lord. This is His, and I love Him. We don't pay out to random things. We don't rent out to people who want to come and do interviews. Man, you remember when I told you that we had somebody reach out to us, wanted an interview space within a church? Brother Mark found a news reporter or something like that, where a Catholic church had let somebody come in and they shot a very bawdy, very disgusting type music video within the church. And I can't remember all the details of the story you told me, brother, but let me just tell you this. We wouldn't have allowed any of that in here. And when asked, well, why did you guys, like, what happened there? How did that get past the front door? They said, oh, they misrepresented what they came in for. I said, aren't you glad for God-given wisdom to be able to, nah. Can we rent out your space? No. No, you cannot. And I've even said that to people on the phone. I go, because we're responsible for this place. And I've got no way of knowing what you're going to do. Well, you're saying you don't trust us? Are you saying I should trust somebody I've never met and just spoken to once on the phone? I've hit that. Come on. Would you trust the judgment of somebody who would say yes to somebody coming into their space where they worship God for nothing but the promise made over a telephone from a complete stranger? No, thank you. No, thank you. What about this? We've got this one lady. Well, we got two of them right now calling and emailing on a regular basis, wanting us to participate in the bringing of the gospel. And they want to meet down in this particular meeting center, and they're going to have this religious thing. I go, well, what is this religious get-together? What is it? I still don't know what it is. Is it preaching? Is it teaching? Who's preaching? Who's teaching? What are we preaching and teaching? Won't tell me any of that. Just, hey, whatever churches want to give into this, we'll be able to put together. We've got a really good program. Well, what's the program? Oh, it's a series of things. All right, I got you. It's a joke. We don't do that. Why? Because we're not a business. We're not a business. We're a church. We're God's house. We're here to take care of things and preach the gospel, right? We ought not fall short. But what about the things that God has given the church? He's given us baptism. Tank still works. Tank still works. We ain't taking her for a run in a while, but she works. And we're preaching the gospel, aren't we? Preaching the gospel, doing the best we can. We can't do anything other than that. We got the tank ready, and we're preaching the gospel. We're waiting to see what the Holy Spirit does. Now, the Lord's Supper, here's where I got to be honest with you. I've been bugged about this. Not by anybody in the church, but I've been bugged by it. And I want to be honest with you. There's a reason why I've held off. Just waiting for something to clear up, and I got some information. I think we're about there. I think I'm getting close to comfortable with it. But that's not something we should let slide. It's not something we should forget to do. Now listen, we live every day. knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But why should we do it? In remembrance of Him. While the Bible doesn't say how often we should do it, we should not wait too long. So please don't think that I, as your pastor, have forgotten about it. It weighs right here. Ever before me, the two ordinances that we have as a church, they sit upon my chest. And believe me, it's all upon the Holy Spirit, but let us not ever forget them. There was a video of a guy somebody sent me that he was leading an invitation, and he had his head down. And I know what he was doing. He was doing what every pastor out there has been doing. They're doing the invitation. He's got his head bowed down. He's praying, Lord, please today. Lord, please move somebody today. Save somebody. Rebuke somebody. Convict somebody. He's down there praying. Somebody showed up next to him, spooked him. He's just, And it gets that way. It gets that way. Let us never forget. Let us never be, when it comes time to baptize somebody, we shouldn't be that surprised that it's taken place. It should be, Lord, thank you for rewarding the labor. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for letting us see it. We ought to be working so hard that we run a higher risk of, well, Lord, I'm working so hard and don't see it. Not, Lord, I ain't doing anything at all, but what a surprise it happened anyway. If there is anything missing, if there's something that's gone askew, let us go and bring it back. Let's get it back on track. So many people, they see things falling off the track, or they see things not going well, and they'll sit there and they'll lean over and they'll whisper to each other, ah, things have gone off. Oh, how clever we are to notice that things have gone off. But would it not be better instead? Something's missing. Something's off. Let us go and bring it back. The thing that we are missing, the thing that we have stopped doing, let us reinstate it. I mean, where is the ark? Now, again, I think David had a better attitude towards the ark than Saul did. First off, we see nobody inquired of it under Saul, but Saul always ever treated the things of God as a good luck charm. We saw how he treated the ephod, right? It was more like a coin flip than it was anything else to him. We'll see what get the ephod out here. We'll see what's going on. We'll see what we can do. No. For David, when he looked at that, bring it into the battle. For David, this is a central part of who we are. God gave us this along with his covenant. We're to take care of this thing. We're to have this. This is what God has given us. This is something that is a notable artifact of our history with our Heavenly Father. And it's so far away. It's not where it should be. And it's been gone for far too long. Somebody has to check. Somebody has to notice these things. Somebody has to get involved. And if it's just you in your life, the only person that can get that right is you. I've known a lot of people who are suffering in their walk with God, and what they want is a magic Bible verse that'll just fix their brain and get them as though it's... God's given you the strength to do it. He's given you the knowledge to do it. He's even given you wisdom to do it. But you still got to move these things. You still have to use these eyes. You have to control this mouth and what it says and what you're saying to people. For God to do everything else, the only thing you have to do is be the hands in the situation. I mean, we're asking for too much. Hey, I need someone to say the right words so that tomorrow, all of a sudden, I've got a brand new habit I've never had before. You're not going to find a brand new habit in a pill bottle. You're not going to find a brand new mindset with somebody repeating mantras and 12-step programs with you. If God says to do it, you need to do it. And rely on Him for the strength, the wisdom, and the go-to. Lord, break my will and insert yours. We need to have that prayer with Him. And then we need to go and do the work and get the things back. But if we're never willing to ask ourselves, is there anything missing? We're gonna let time go by. we're going to be in a bad state. So it really comes down to how often are we checking to see if there's anything missing? How could we tell if there's something that we don't have? I was up at Traverse City, up Faith in Traverse City, and Brother Graber, he took my Bible, and he held on to it, and I didn't notice. And I don't know if he got bored waiting for me to notice, which is most likely what happened. But he eventually put it back, and he told me about it later. He goes, I took your Bible, and I was waiting, and I was looking. He started complimenting the cover on it, but he eventually put it back. He got bored waiting, or he felt bad about it, one of the two. Like, man, could you imagine going up to the pulpit without your Bible? That is a fear for me, by the way. I set things down. I don't know if you've noticed this. You probably notice this about me. I set things down places. We had this new lady at work. We were working in the office. And I go, where's my pen? And she got offended by this. She thought that I meant that she had stolen my pen. So she went to one of my coworkers and said, does he think somebody stole his pen? She goes, oh no, Matt knows that if he's lost his pen, he's lost his pen. He will find that pen 4 days from now. And I don't know if you noticed, but I came up here, I started playing with a pen. Been looking for that since Sunday. I set stuff down. Hey, listen. If I got up here without my Bible, I'd be a mess. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got some cheat sheets up here. I've got a lot of verse lists and things written down. Right? So if you ever notice, I don't flip. I just start reading. I got it written down. But I need my main text. Need the main thing. How many of us go through our life, which, by the way, requires more study than any one sermon, and you ain't read? And you ain't studied? Folks, I'm barking the word of God up here, but to live it requires far more study. To live it requires far more. Why? Because up here I study for one subject. Out there I have to answer 7, 8, 9, 12, depending on the day. How many people I run across, what the phone rings when it rings, right? Life is many sermons in a day. Life is many things that you've got to conquer, many temptations you've got to know about. For me to come up here without the Bible is a nightmare, but to live without it, that's terrible. It's impossible. Possible to do it right. So is there anything missing? And there's nothing wrong with calling it out when things are missing. So many people, they get offended. Why is he preaching on that again? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's bugging me to preach on. Maybe if we all got it right, Holy Spirit, let me move on. Trust me, I get frustrated with it too, but it's one of the most important things we could possibly have. What is it that keeps your body running? Food and movement, right? You stop moving, your body starts falling apart. You stop eating, you start dying, right? Without service, without Bible study, without contact from God, spiritually you will deteriorate. Spiritually you'll begin to atrophy. You need the Word of God. You need contact with God. You need to serve Him. Well, it's hard. Yes. In the beginning, it's very difficult. I'm trying to teach the boys how to do work in the yard, one of them without complaining. And we'll do stuff. And we'll find, recently it was the leaves, right? Just like everybody else, recently it was the leaves. We've got this brand new thing, scoops up all the leaves. I take it into the back and dump it out. So that's what we were doing. And the boys, their job was to fill the bags. Man, I came back with a big old thing full of leaves, dumped it, and you would have thought I broke somebody's soul. I said, come here. I'm going to be doing a lot of this. So you can't get upset every time. You'll pass out. You keep getting excited every time I bring these back here. Right? Just, hey, it's hard at first. You want to see something, you want to see something amazing? Watch Gideon do anything. Gideon is one of the smallest five-year-olds I know, but he does not know it. He doesn't know how small he is. You know how he doesn't like to be called names? You can't call him buddy or sport or anything like that. Somebody came up to him at a conference recently, and they said something, they described something about him, and he didn't like it. And I could tell he didn't like it, because he gave him that look. You've seen it. He gave him that. And from the man, the way the man told me this story is he gave him a funny face and then came over and hugged my legs. Now, I'm watching it. That was not a hug. That was a tackle. The man, being almost 7 foot, couldn't tell the difference. And somebody said, well, you know, he knows that he can't tackle somebody that tall. I go, see, that's the thing. He don't know that. That's the only thing that boy doesn't know. See, he approaches things, and I could pick on him because he's not here. He approaches things with, there's nothing too big for me. But he struggles because he's tiny. But he just he'll get it done. He'll muscle it. He'll fight it. He'll be sweating to the face. But whatever it is, if you don't stop him, he'll do it. It's hard at first. Things struggle at first to give the gospel, to invite people to church, to develop a habit you haven't had, or develop a habit that you had, redevelop a habit that you had, but you dropped. It takes effort. Yes. Plan on that. Plan on struggling. Hey, listen, I know that for the first few days it's going to be difficult, so that way you don't cry when you see that it's difficult. Of course it's difficult. Of course it's hard. You don't do it often. Anything you hold off on doing for a while is difficult when you get back to it. Plan on that. Just know it's going to be difficult. But do it anyway. Do as much as you can, as far as you can. David brought them together with a plan. Verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Hey, we're doing it. We're doing it. Whatever it is that God has given, either in your personal life, in your home, or in the church, if God told you to do it, or if God gave it to you to have, we're doing it. We're doing it. Now we'll try. Now we'll think about it. Now we'll get together and talk about it. We will do it. Now, of course, in there, there's going to be the planning. Had to be planning. They built a new ark, a new wagon for it. There was some talk that needed to happen, but the talk was never whether or not they were going to do it. We'll do it. When it comes down to your Bible reading, you need to look yourself cold dead in the eye, grab a mirror, look yourself in the eye and say, we'll do it. We will do it. We'll set aside this time. We'll set an alarm. Man, I got alarms for everything. If I ever lose my watch, my watch will vibrate when stuff... If I ever lose my watch, man, you just got to wait a few minutes. There's something I'm supposed to be about to do. It'll start... You'll find it. Set an alarm. Ain't no shame in that. We joke all the time about our memories. Hey, listen, there's ways around it. We got technology now. Used to be you'd have the rooster to wake you up in the morning. Now you got an alarm this, an alarm that. You got little things and memos, and we got post-it notes. We got all different kinds of stuff to remind us, which means the only reason why we don't is because we choose not to. Hey, we're doing this, right? Comes down to giving the gospel, to inviting people to church. Hey, we're doing this. Now listen, I've passed out flyers to the doors. I talk to people in the street. But you know the number one way people start coming to church? They're invited by a friend. It's the number one way. Now I'm not going to give up on meeting people in the street and passing things out and knocking on. I'm not going to give up on that stuff. Neither should we. But the number one way is the personal friend inviting. Do you know that? You ask most of folks, that's how they came. Somebody who was already going to that church invited me. That's my testimony. I had a friend who was, I had a cousin who was already going to the church. Oddly enough, I started going to the church, he stopped. But hey, that's how I found it. Now, I say I found it, but we all know who really wrote that story. Who put that kid in my life and made sure that that kid was going there so that he could contact me and say, hey, would you come? And he knows that I would look up to him being a little bit older of a cousin, and you know how kids can be with their cousins, and absolutely I'll go. And what's that? They've got this and they've got, all right, well, I'll head on over there. And well, the rest the Lord took care of. I mean, he took care of the beginning. That's what God does. But we've got to do the thing. He takes care of everything else. We just got to do the thing. We cannot give up on giving the gospel. We cannot give up on inviting people to church. The Great Commission is something God has given us. We can't let it go 75 years. We shouldn't let it go a day. D.L. Moody, not quite the Baptist he should have been, but D.L. Moody. He would not, it is said that he would not go to bed at night without having given the gospel to somebody. I don't know if that's true or not. You know how they tell tall tales about preachers. But who's to say that's not something we could adopt? Till I've said the gospel at least once. Until I've shared it with somebody. That I would not rest, that I would not break. Oh, how terrible the world is. But my, oh my. Are we hiding our light under a bushel? Isn't that the most ridiculous child's verse you've ever heard in a song? Hide it under a bushel. You know what happened if you hit a candle under a bushel? Either the light would go out or you'd set fire to the bushel, wouldn't you? I always said that. How crazy that. You can't hide light. You can't hide your light either. Either you'll extinct. Either you'll dull it. You'll choke it out. Not that you'll ever lose your salvation, but you could lose your spark. Grow dull. That's not something we ought to be participating in. We ought to be giving the gospel. We ought to be doing the work. The Great Commission in all three parts. The giving of the gospel, the baptizing of the believers, and the teaching of them afterwards. Let us do what we should do. And really, what it comes down to is a heart of, let's get it back. Let's get it back. You know, there was a time that we could all point to and we could all say, my, wasn't God good back 20 years ago? I was just bemoaning that on Sunday, wasn't I? Oh, they showed me the pictures of 20 years ago. Oh, man, I remember that. We did this and we did that. And we went down here and all we... That's right. We went and we would just go and we would ask, drive around the church van and we would invite people to church and we got all these kids coming on a Thursday, all these kids coming on Sunday morning, man. We had this... I remember her. She said, if you were at the Bible conference down on 12 Ryan, Brother Hugan brought up kids that would come at 12 Ryan and they would tell him every Sunday, I'm never coming back to this church again. Most often because you told them of some rule or something like that and they get mad. I'm never coming back. Okay, see you Sunday. Brother Lutz was showing me, and sure enough they would be there that next Sunday. Brother Lutz was showing me pictures. That was the girl who we told her, you know, she was wearing like her swimsuit or something, wanted to get on the church van. We told her she had to go change. And she got mad. I'm never coming back to the church again. And by the time we got to the front of the trailer park, she was running behind us fully dressed. Hey! Never is not a very long time for young people. It's not. Man, we still have work to do. Why? Because we're still here. We're still here. We were talking We had a very cheery conversation last night among the men. We're talking about death. And I think it was Brother Tim brought up. Seen in the obituary a lot of people younger than me. But you're still here. Why you? Why you? You see ages 58, 67, 71. Why you? Well, he must not be done. So whatever ain't there, I highly recommend you go get it back. Because you still have time. Oh, I can't do this or do that like I used to. Listen, you take what God's given you physically and you do the best you can. Do the best you can. Don't bemoan what you can't do. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. We mourn those things, right? We mourn the things that we can't do. We mourn changes in life that we don't like. That happens. But God has given you exactly what you need for this season. So do it. Whatever ain't there, get it back. And do it. It's just how easy and how simple it was. Well, we're going to go and we're going to bring it. Did he need every captain? No. But every captain should have been on it. I get the wisdom of what David was doing. Let's get everybody on board. Why? The whole nation under God. We put it on our money, but we don't mean it. I mean, you and I might mean it, but this country don't. David, that's what he meant. The whole country under God. David understood his place in a way that Saul didn't. God was still the king of Israel. God was still king. And David was more than happy to be his instrument. I'll be the instrument to go get this. I'll go be the instrument to institute that and widen our borders back and do this and do that. And whatever the Lord wants. That must be who we are. And if there's anything missing, we're the ones to go get it. Bring it back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the example you've given us in David. Lord, so many wonderful ones there. Yes, we know there's some bad ones too. But Father, please, help us to be watchful. Help us to be careful so that, Father, we are always honoring you, always honoring the way you want things done, so that, Father, your work is being done on this world. Father, help us to do more than just be sad at what we're seeing out there. Lord, the results of these elections, the things that our states and our country is doing, Lord, we know it's a reproach to you. So help us to take the bushel off and be the lights we're supposed to be. Standing up against sin, preaching the gospel, and continuing to teach the things you've given us in your word. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.